Yeah, what a great song, huh? What a wonderful song. That is Fernando Ortega, and he's one of the singers that I love to listen to, and I just, it just speaks to me every single time I listen to those songs. And he really makes a good point, and he sings a lot of these older songs, and these older songs are just full of blessing and full of truth. So I wanted to play that at the beginning. Welcome to another edition of the Pastor's Podcast here at Forest Hills Presbyterian Church in Wilson, North Carolina. I'm Pastor Ron Schermerhorn. If you haven't discovered that yet, I am the pastor here, have been for well, about a year and about 8 months. 8.5 months, something like that. 7.5 months since July or January of 2025, and so we're having a great time here at Forest Hills Church. I got to tell you, these are amazing people, honestly. And if you happen to be on our website and you happen to be listening to this particular podcast that we have on the website, and you're looking for a church home, this is it. And it's not about just getting more people to come to church. It's not about that at all. It's really about the gospel going forth and the word of God going into a setting of our church where you are loved and accepted for who you are. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to be anything for me. You don't have to be anything special. When you come, I will accept you in our church exactly the way you are. We all have cleaning up to do, there's no doubt about it. And the problem is today, nobody wants to be cleaned up. We'll go to a church as long as they say, well, as long as you affirm my lifestyle, I'm good to go. That's not what the scripture says at all. That's not what the scripture says at all. So, we go to the Word of God as truth. God speaks to us through His Word. It is the same yesterday as it is today and will be forever. The Word of God does not change. We may not understand every word that's in there. We may not understand exactly why what is in there is in there, but it's in there. And if we are going to take the Word of God as being true, then we need to take the whole thing as being true. Again, though we may not understand. So that's kind of my perspective when it comes to Scripture. Now, a lot of people will say today, and I left a church like this, that will say, well, the Bible's a nice book, and the Bible's a lot of nice stories that teach us about morality, that teach us about, well, this is how we could be, and this is how we should live, and all this stuff. But it's really not true there. We just adapt the Bible to whatever our world looks like today. And God needs to change. What he wrote in the Bible, well, that's, a couple thousand years ago, things change, people change. And around here, we don't say that at all. We say the Word of God still has truth to speak to us about, and we just need to simply listen. So that's what this is about, these podcasts that I do. And I hope you're listening. I hope somebody's listening. You never know. You sit here in your office and you think, well, somebody's got to be listening, or I'm just doing this in vain. Well, I think a lot of people who do any kind of weekly podcast or anything like that think the same thing I do. But to me, it's not about numbers. It's not about being rich and famous, because I'm neither. And I just don't care to be. I just want to be the best pastor I can be for the people I know in my church. And to love them with all my heart, to accept their foibles and frailties as they accept my foibles and frailties. So that's where we're at. And currently here in the getting into the middle of the month of August, I've been preaching a series on the Gospel of John, on the seven I am statements of Jesus, in that gospel. And I have been preaching about different things as time has gone by. But today I want to talk about Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the door of the sheep." And kind of what that means and how that works its way out in my life and in the life of the Christian today. I would say my life is far from perfect, but I'm so glad that God accepts me and loves me and wants to change me and transform me into the image of His Son. And so I'm trying to pay attention to everything He's telling me. But today we're going to talk about that. So, you know, let's just kind of start with a prayer and we can get ahead and get going. Our Father, we do thank You so much for Your word. It does speak to us. You know, we're just people. We're frail. And the thing of it is, Lord, we may try our very best to follow You and to do the things You want us to do. And sometimes Your word is tough for us to swallow and tough for us to get a hold of. But Father, that doesn't stop us from trying. So today, I pray, Lord, that You would speak to us through Your word. Speak to me, speak to my heart, and don't let me be the same. I want to be Your guy, you know, in 2026. I want to be Your guy. So, Father, speak to us through Your word. Speak to me as I talk about it, and I'll thank You. You're a good God, and we love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so kind of at the third I am statement of Jesus from John chapter 10 verses 1 through 10, and I'm just going to read that. I always read from the English Standard Version of the Bible, and let me get right at it and we can discuss it. Jesus said this in John 10, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now that's an interesting thing, and I hate to interrupt myself, but I'm going to interrupt myself. He says, "He who climbs into the sheepfold by any other way is a thief and a robber." Entering into the sheepfold by any other way. You may think that you're in the sheepfold, and you may think you call yourself a Christian, and that's all well and good. But you know, God's been kind of harsh and speaks to you sometimes through the scriptures in kind of a harsh way. And that can be dangerous, you know. So we don't believe all the Bible. Oh, no, no. We just believe the things that we want to believe, right? "You're a thief and a robber," Jesus said. How about that? That's incredible. So in the sheepfold, he's kind of telling us in so many words, hey, there are people who do not belong in the sheepfold because they entered another way. They didn't want to go through Christ. No. They wanted to go through another way. This is even talking about other religions, you know, that will not accept Christ as the Messiah, that will not accept Christ as the only way, the truth, and the life. They've come into the fold and they think, well, I'm a sheep in the fold, but they're not coming in through Christ. And he says, anybody who doesn't come in through me is a thief and a robber, an illegitimate. Powerful. Okay, but he who enters the door by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. See, he's referring back to those who spoke as though they were spiritual elites, and people needed to follow them and listen to them. But before Christ and after Christ, if you come into the fold any other way, you're a thief and a robber. But the sheep did not listen to them. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Wow. I went to Israel in 2016. Was there for 10 days. And we had a guide who actually was a Palestinian. And so he had a different perspective of what was going on there in Israel, one of which I did not agree. But I listened to what he had to say. But here was the interesting thing about this guy. Abraham was his name. He talked about his descendants, and his descendants were all shepherds. His father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather, his great-great-great-grandfather, all the way back to the time of Jesus. So he knew a lot about shepherding. And he took us to some fields near Bethlehem, and just outside of Bethlehem on a hillside, he took us to this field. As a matter of fact, he said, tradition says, I don't know this to be true or not, but where we were, that field on the hillside is where the shepherds heard the announcement of the birth of Christ. That's powerful, and that's really cool. And there is a chapel, small chapel, that is built there. But in that field, there were these little pens, sheep pens. And I noticed something very strange about them. They didn't really have gates on them. They had these small openings, and the sheep would go in these small openings and get into this sheep fold, and they would lay down. And so I asked him, I said, Ibrahim, where is the door? Is there no gate? And they said, no. The shepherd lies down. Once the flock is counted and in the fold, he lies down and he becomes the shepherd door. He is the door. He is the gate. And anything that would try to get into that pen, he would be there to kill it. And only he could let in sheep and let out sheep to pasture. Wow. And so my mind goes to this, you know, where Jesus says here, I am the door. That is so cool. So what is he talking about here? There's two powerful images here, the shepherd and the door. And I'll be talking about the shepherd next week. In verses 1 through 10, the emphasis falls on the door of the sheep. Timothy Keller often taught that every human being is looking for security, identity, and life. But Jesus declares that all of these things are found only through him, Keller says. He's not merely showing the way to life. He is the actual entrance into life. He is the door. So cool. So first off, we're going to look at the fact that Jesus says, I am the door, the only door to salvation. Modern culture says that there are many paths to God. But Jesus lovingly and boldly claims exclusivity. Christianity is not one option along the way. Christ is the only way. Many people believe that if they're kind and treat everybody well, that that should be enough to earn them salvation from God. You know, I've met a lot of people like that. You know, if I give to the church, if I do things for the church, then, you know, then God should accept me. I don't really want this whole accepting Jesus thing, and I don't want really want this whole Bible thing. I just want to be good. I want to go to church for an hour on Sunday. I want to sit there. I want to get up, go to lunch. I want to do my thing. You know, don't bother me about this salvation stuff. Folks, I got to tell you, until we take our Christianity seriously, we are seriously falling short of what God wants us to be. And today, most Christians are not taking their Christianity seriously. They're not. They just think, well, I'm going to be good, you know. There was a woman in the church I came from to come here to Wilson in Rockingham, North Carolina. And she said, Pastor, I don't know why you talk about sin. I don't know why, you know, we always focus on Jesus. She said, I have many books in my library from many different religions. Why do you always say Jesus is the only way? You know, I think the Eastern religions are fine, and I think that that's a way to get to God, and there are many ways to get to God. No. And you know, you hearken back to what C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity, which I think is powerful. He said Jesus is one of three things. He's either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he is absolutely everything he says he is. God in the flesh, Messiah, Savior, the way, the truth, the life. So, you know, there's not many. I understand. You know, I understand around the world that there are people who've never heard the name of Jesus and they're trying to follow something. I get that. And I don't know where grace comes into that because I'm not God. I would like to think that grace would look at those people favorably, walking in the light that they know, sort of thing. But for us, and for this woman in particular, Jesus is the only way. You might not like that. You will not like that. Because it means we are answerable to God. It means that we have to live a holy life the way Jesus taught us to live. But see, no, there's many ways to God. Well, salvation's not found in morality. Salvation's not found in religion. And remember what I've said about you know, why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to start another church, you know, start another religion. He came to show us God. He came to show us the way to God through his death on the cross and resurrection. That's what he came to show us. He didn't write anything. You know, he didn't start his own church. The first pope did not. He came to show us who God is. And as human beings, it's kind of the human thing. You've heard me say before, it's kind of the human condition that we like to take things that are beyond us and we like to put them into neat little piles so that we can understand it. And so I happen to be in this Presbyterian pile as John Knox and, you know, John Calvin and other teachers have taught through the centuries. You know, we can kind of put these little piles together and say, well, I sort of believe this, and I think that they had some truth, but you know what? They fall short. Religion is not going to save you. Religion is not going to save you. It's not. You may have the right perspective, whatever that might you might think that might be, whether it's Arminian or Calvin or Catholic or whatever. Whatever. That religion is not going to save you. John Calvin cannot save you. Only Jesus can. And so, yes, I hold to the tenets of the Reformation. Yes, I do. And I teach and preach those. Yes. But do I have a corner on how God works in the life of the Christian? Absolutely not. So salvation is not found in following religion. See, that's the thing about Christianity. Christianity is the only relationship with God that you can have in this world. And that relationship is not based on how well you perform. You know, it's not that way. It's just not that way. You know, follow these rules, follow these things, and you'll find nirvana. You'll find heaven. You'll find whatever. You know, Christianity is set aside because it's a relationship with God through Christ. It's not a religion. It's so important. Salvation isn't found in self-improvement. Man, that's today. Whoa. So everybody wants to be better, you know, better people. If you go to church and listen to the pastor, you'll be better people. No, really? Not necessarily. Salvation is found only in Christ, gang. Only in Christ. So the question is not, are you religious? Because there's a lot of people who are religious. But the question is, in particular, pointed to John 10, verses 1 through 10. The question is, have you entered through the door of Christ? Are you a legitimate sheep in his fold? The question isn't, are you religious? Are you following somebody's pattern? That doesn't do it. The question is, are you walking with Jesus? Have you come into the sheepfold through the door? Not only is he the door, but he's the door of security and rest. Jesus said in verse 9 of John 10, he said, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The sheep that enters the fold were safe from predators and thieves. The shepherd's presence provided protection and peace. Look, everybody is seeking security through money, success, relationships, or achievements, or even through church, you know. All these things are going to fail us. You mean even the church, Pastor? Oh, you bet. You bet. You know why that is? Because we're people. And people will fail you. As a pastor, somewhere along the way, I will. I know that. So true security is found only in belonging to Christ. Because Christ is the door, we are secure in God's love. We are protected by his grace. We have a shepherd who never abandons his sheep. The world offers temporary protections, see. But Jesus offers eternal safety. That's important. That's important. And then Jesus is the door to abundant life. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, in verse 10. Jesus contrasts himself with the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus gives life. Abundant life doesn't mean that it will be an easy life or a wealthy life, but it's a full life. A life reconciled to God, transformed by grace, and filled with eternal purpose. Because in Christ we find forgiveness for our sins, new identity as God's children, joy that circumstances cannot take away, and eternal life which begins now. Well, the thing of it is, you know, as I kind of close this up, the real conclusion is, to this passage, Jesus stands before you and he stands before me. And he says, I am the door. I am the way to God. You cannot come in another way. You will not come in another way. I am the door. And the fact is, there are only two conclusions and two responses that we can have to this. Either we will ignore Christ, we will ignore the door, and we will remain outside, and we may try to get into the sheep pen some other way. Or you'll enter through the door and receive salvation, security, and abundant life. That's it. Two responses. Ignore the door, enter through the door. See, the good news of the gospel is that that door is open. Christ invites sinners like me to come to him, trust him, and find life. I am the door. What about you? Have you entered through the door? Now, the door is going to be open to you through his word, through his spirit working in your life, giving you faith to believe. The door is going to be open to you when you accept and acknowledge the death of Christ as the only way of salvation and the only way to God. And if you have walked through that door, are you resting in the security and abundance that only Christ can give? Well, sounds awful black and white there, Pastor. Yeah, it does. Because guess what? It is black and white. Very much so. So listen to me. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to follow? Will you follow Christ? Will you live for him? Or will you just continue to try to find a way around and go another way? You're going to be sorely disappointed if you do. Sorely disappointed. Thanks so much for joining me and for listening today. I hope you go to Christ and find strength and purpose only in him. Exactly.